If you love the Divergent Trilogy by Veronica Roth, then you've come to the right show, because this is Faction Fandom. And we're back! So, as a lot of you know, we have been on a bit of a hiatus for like 4, 5, 6 months, I'm not really sure. Anyway, the point is that we've been gone for a while, and while Cherie and I have been trying to get schedules set up, it's been difficult. Hence, you know, the lack of episodes. But we are back, and we've got some new people to introduce. Cherie has informed me that she's going to sit this one out for a while. So, without further ado, my name is Stephanie.
My name is Alyssa.
And this is episode 5.
Yay!
Okay, so Alyssa, go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us how you got started in Divergent. And what your given faction is, and maybe a few of your other favorite fandoms.
Okay. I started reading Divergent. People were talking about it on Tumblr, and I was like, okay, maybe I should try this thing out. And, it's kind of gone from there. Other than that, I think my faction would probably be Candor. Just because I really, really enjoy reading and feel like if I'm going to be anything, I'm gonna...
Oh, you said you were... Okay.
So I lied. Yeah. I never really took a quiz, so I always kind of thought it would be Candor, but I just took a really quick quiz. Yay, BuzzFeed. And according to BuzzFeed, I'm erudite.
I was going to ask you that. Because you had talked about how you just love to read and you love knowledge and sat there and thought.
That's my problem. So I'm a journalist, so my thought process there was like, well, I really need to be truthful about everything. So it's like there was that whole thing. According to BuzzFeed, I'm erudite. BuzzFeed's great.
All right. So you and your smarticles, go ahead and tell us more about the other books that you enjoy.
I really enjoy... I have a weird obsession with YA for a 27-year-old.
You know what? I'm 23. I'm gonna read about teenagers as much as I want to.
But I'm also currently in like a romance novel binge, which happens occasionally. But some of my favorite books are the series by Tamora Pierce. She does this whole universe that I just adore. What else do I love? Oh my god.
It's kind of hard when you put on the spot, huh?
It is. I love Shadow and Bone by Leigh Bardugo.
I have to read that.
Oh my god, it's so good. Shadow and Bone is about this girl who finds out she's got this special power, and it's in kind of quasi-Russia in the time of the Tsars. It's really very cool. There's a dude named the Darking, who's like super creepy, but kind of awesome at the same time. Mostly creepy though. God, I read way too much for there to be any kind of valid answer to favorite books.
That's okay. Yeah. You can add to that later maybe. Uh-huh. What about movies or television shows or you know it's. Just, We call ourselves Faction Fandom because while we love Divergent, there's so much more out there, and we're just a fandom happy podcast. So,
I love Marvel, S.H.I.E.L.D.
Okay,
Hannibal, Supernatural. I'm kind of in a Teen Wolf situation right now. It's not a good one. Gosh.
You're listing just about every show that I don't watch that I need to watch. I'm sitting here waiting for us to have something to talk about. I'm thinking, oh, I have to watch that. I still have to watch that.
I watched Doctor Who. I love Doctor Who.
Woo-hoo!
High five.
High five.
I watch a lot of really bad Science Channel documentaries about ghosts and...
Okay, that's supernatural.
It's so weird. So. My family refuses to watch TV with me anymore. Because I watch bad TV. I just watch bad TV, generally speaking. I watch like true crime shows or... The Nightmare Next Door kind of thing. Because I don't
really. We're really into CSI. That's our family show because it's something everyone can get into. And it's that, I don't know, I think crime shows just have taken off. There's so many of them, but they're so popular and they're still good. Like, I love CSI. And
some of them are really, really great. Have you watched Castle?
I do watch Castle. I
love Castle. Mostly because, I mean, Nathan Fillion, and he's wonderful and adorable.
Of course.
He's just kind of awesome.
Firefly references. They make me want
to. My favorite Firefly reference continues to be the Halloween he dressed up as a space cowboy.
Yes. Yes.
That was my favorite.
Oh, man.
He looks at him and goes, "Didn't you do that like a couple of years ago?" As for movies, I actually really enjoy documentaries, and I try not to watch Bang Bang Shoot 'em Up question like movies, but I watch a lot of like historical drama movies. So,
alrighty, well, you can be the sophisticated documentary journalist when in the group. Good enough for me. So let's keep going on. We don't really have a chapter by chapter news segment, like meat of a show. We will keep having news. I don't think I'm going to keep posting them on the website, though. That takes a lot of time to post every single news story there is about Veronica Roth or Divergent or Shailene Woodley or Theo James. Or it's going to get hard.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get so big. And I probably won't post all of them, the big stuff maybe, but mostly we'll just kind of keep everybody updated on what's going on with that.
Yeah.
I think the biggest news story today, being Friday the 21st, is that Divergent came out today.
I know.
That's pretty much the only biggest thing as far as news goes that's happening. And we'll probably do a movie review.
Yeah.
Of what everyone thought. So we'll save that for later. For those of you who can't remember, we left off last time with Chapter 13. So we're going to go Chapter 13 through 15 for the next chapter discussion. But because today is the 21st, Friday, we are going to talk a little bit about the movie. So we never really got an opportunity. We didn't really get an opportunity to do like a, oh my gosh, look at the cast kind of discussion because, you know, we were gone and incognito for a while there. To start us off, Divergent the movie. Is it directed by Summit? I should probably know this.
Yeah, Summit.
Yeah. So it's produced by Summit. I don't know what you call those movie companies. I'm horrible at this. Directed by Neil Berger, who also did Limitless and The Illusionist. And then the screenplay is by Evan Daughtry, who did Snow White and the Huntsman, and then Vanessa Taylor, who does Game of Thrones. So as far as all of those names out there, did you see Limitless or The Illusionist?
I saw The Illusionist. It's a beautiful movie.
And Limitless is the same way. It's very visually stimulating. Like,
yeah.
Very nice.
I mean, it was a gorgeous movie, and I was thrilled to have seen it. Even though I didn't see it on the big screen, it was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And Brooke was telling me she saw The Illusionist, and overall, if anything, it's going to be really pretty to see. So we can look forward to that. It's going to be very, very nice to watch.
It'll be very pretty.
Right.
Exciting.
And then, of course, we've got our Shailene Woodley and Theo James, Tristan Foer.
Yeah.
Initially, when they first casted that, I was a little worried because I actually heard of, I heard Shailene Woodley was going to be Hazel Grace in Shippia.
Was that first?
I think she got casted for that first. And
I thought she got casted. I could be wrong.
That's what I heard. She may have gotten casted for Divergent first, and then they just kind of kept that hush-hush. But either way, you know, they came out right around the same time as far as announcing that. So, yeah, there was some controversy as to, is she going to be able to do both of them? Is it going to be weird having her and Ansel Elgort together in the same movies, two YA book adaptations in the same year? I mean, yeah, there was all that jibber-jabber, and at the time, yeah, it was frustrating. You were a little disappointed at that. Especially since Shailene Woodley she's not unknown. She's just not really great for the stuff she is known for.
Yeah. She's done some things that I wasn't exactly a fan of.
Yeah. And, you know, of course I've seen, I can't remember what it's called, the ABC Family show.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it a couple of times, but yeah, I wasn't that impressed. What? But then she did this movie with George Clooney, and I can't put my finger on it. But she's pretty decent in that one.
The Descendants.
Yeah, that's what it's called. But that was pretty good.
Yeah. But she was in, oh my God, not Teen Mom, but IMDb.
When you look at Theo James, the only thing I think he's in is in Downton Abbey.
The Secret Life of American Teenager.
That's what it's called, yeah.
And it's awful.
I'm sorry. If you like that show, God bless you.
I'm really sorry. I don't mean to be mean to people who like it, but oh my God, it was so
I know. You know what? I think it's just one of those dramas. It's kind of like a teenage soap opera.
Have it. I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. But Theo I didn't know. I didn't really know. At all.
They had some trouble casting Theo. Or not him, but they had some trouble casting for a while. Shailene was very involved in the casting. She was very vocal about the things they needed and the things they were looking for, and he had to have these features and he had to have these abilities. And
yeah.
I don't know.
I'm not surprised about that. Four is such a weird character. Not weird, but he's very distinct.
Complex.
He is. You have to have this ability to be five different things. And finding an actor who can be a character that is that complex is really difficult, I think.
Mm-hmm. And so, of course, he's not going to be all five things because we're not going to see everything. We're not going to see everything on the screen that we read about in the book.
No, of course not.
But, yeah, the essence of he's got to be complex, and he's got to be really deep.
Yeah.
A lot deeper than a normal, like, a Al or Will would have been.
Yeah.
So. But,
Mostly, I'm just really impressed that the main movie poster they have is his back.
You're impressed or you're in awe by it?
It's kind of a combination of all things, because I sit there and I look at it and go, oh my God! I totally get why they did it. Not all of the tattoos of the factions, but it's also one of those things where you sit there and go, "Dude, he's not the main character. He's just pretty.
He is very pretty.
He's
nice. Very pretty eye candy.
He's lovely, and I enjoy that intensely.
They don't even the whole intimacy between Triss and Four is very slow.
Yeah.
At least in the first book.
Definitely.
I'm not worried. I'm just a little.
Wait,
I'll be frustrated if they play that up way too much because that's not really what it's all about.
Yeah, but they're gonna.
Yeah.
Because that's the way movies are. Movies are fast and sexy, where books can be building it up and slower.
I guess as of right now, that's my only stipulation. But like you said, they kind of have to. Because if they don't sell the movie, then they won't get to make any more. And, of course, we want that, so.
They've already put in, because I'm on IMDb, they've got Insurgents in pre-production, which means they've already got a script for it, supposedly coming out in 2015, which I'm going to be laughing about if they actually get it done in a year. They probably already have a script for it, but it's like one of those things where you sit there and go, really, guys?
Well, it's already, they anticipate it being a big blockbuster hit. I think, even though there's not blockbuster anymore, I think the whole Study of Bones fiasco kind of put everything into perspective. You know, they already started filming that, or they set dates to film that before the City of Bones came out, or at least the second movie for that.
Right.
And then it came out, and then it was a big flunk. It was still a really good movie. They just didn't profit as much as they thought it was going to be. It's a great fandom. It's really, really popular. There's a lot of people who love this book series, but it just didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to.
It didn't translate for some reason.
Well, I have theories sure about why that happened, but.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it's because the incest thing didn't. Sorry, spoilers. I wonder if it was that, but that's just my theory. Who else is in the movie? Now that I'm thinking
Ansel Elgort, who I'm very excited about. Okay, and yes, Thor is rugged, or Theo James is rugged and attractive and very pretty, but I'm sorry. I'm a big Ansel Elgort fan, can I say?
That's totally...
Yeah, well, he's a musician, and God, you know, guys who play the guitar. He's kind of like an old-fashioned kind of pretty. I don't know.
He is. He fits my idea of Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more than he fits my idea of Augustus Waters, to be perfectly frank.
But I know, yeah. So we'll see how that happens.
We'll see how that works out. But I'm excited to see him as Caleb. I think he'll be very good as Caleb.
Yeah. Caleb plays a very dominant role later on, so I think he'll be able to pull that off later.
I think so. Should the movie do well?
Mm-hmm. Next, I'm going to skip here. We have Kate Winslet as Janine, and that pretty much wraps up our big four, big name. I mean, I think Kate Winslet is obviously the biggest name in this production.
Actually, that's pretty big, but no, you're right.
Besides Ashley Rudd, Ashley Rudd's pretty good, but she's not as prominent as Janine.
Yeah, it's going to be... I have so much love for Kate Winslet. It's kind of ridiculous.
And, you know, Janine's... I think when I was reading the book, Janine was one of those characters where... I don't know if it's me or if it's everybody, but when I read something, I don't really picture people. I just sort of picture features. And the people in my head are just sort of like blobs of...
things.
Yes, yes, with attitude. I don't know how to explain that. But I don't have a dominant, like, oh, that's this person. But when they casted her as Janine, I thought, yes, that is so her. She did that.
Oh, perfect.
Is. She's so, oh, man, that's going to be good. So excited. We have Miles Teller as Peter. And there's a lot of Peter fans out there. I don't know. What else is Miles Teller in? I don't know. He's going to be a very big character.
That's what he was in. I never remember his name, but I remember his face. He was in Footloose.
Oh, yeah.
He was Willard.
Yeah, he was Willard.
I love Willard. I was
so dying. Funny to see him being the creepy guy.
I know.
That's going to be big. You know, he wanted to be four originally, I think. Or I think he tried out for four. And did they try out? I don't really know how that works. But
audition.
They asked him to play Peter instead. And when he looked at the script for Peter, he was like, oh, yeah, okay, I'll do this.
I mean, it's going to be really interesting seeing him play a creepy guy, because in every other thing he does, basically, he's kind of... whatever. He's like, he's so out there and ridiculous. Although, according to IMDb, he's playing Mr. Fantastic in a reboot of the Fantastic Four, which would also be really fascinating.
That's going to be weird.
It's going to be weird.
That's going to be really weird.
What is he in right now? He's...
Divergent?
No, I want to see him in the awkward moment. I need to see him in that awkward moment.
Awkward moment?
No, that's the movie called That Awkward Moment.
Oh, okay.
With Zac Efron.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
It looks to be hilarious, but that's not the point. It's going to be really fascinating.
He's always going to be Willard in my head.
But yeah, I know.
Like, that's the first thing I've ever seen him in. That was his breakout role for me. I just, yeah, like you said, it's going to be weird. I hope, but you know what, I have no doubt that he can pull it off. Again, I like that they shot a lot of these, like, no-name people. They're introducing new people, and they're giving new people an opportunity. I think fandoms are a really good way to get yourself known as an actor or an actress. Like, you sign on for one, it could do well, and if it doesn't do well, then hey, you've gotten yourself out there. If it does do well, then you're pretty much signed on for the next couple of movies, and you've established yourself. So I think that's a good opportunity for them. We also have Christina. Zoe Kravitz is going to play her. And then Maggie Q is going to be Tori.
Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting.
Have you seen, what's that thing that Maggie Q's in?
Nikita.
Nikita, yeah. I've seen it on Netflix. I haven't watched it, but I've heard really good things about it.
I've heard very good things about it. It's never been something that I watched. But, yeah, it she should be really interesting.
She looks like a Tory to me.
She does look like Tory.
Nikita does really well, and I think that's why they chose her, because I think they asked for her to come on.
Yeah.
As a Tory.
I think so.
Fun fact about Zoe Kravitz, her dad, Lenny Kravitz, is Senna in The Hunger Games.
I know.
It's adorable.
I love Senna, and I miss Senna. I have so many Senna feels.
You miss it?
I have so many Senna feels. It's
impressive. Yeah. She was also in X-Men First Class. She played this fairy.
I remember that. She was good in that.
She was really good in that. She's very pretty, in my opinion.
Very pretty.
They kind of flip the height differences, because I think Triss is always the smallest one in the group.
Yeah, I feel like she was.
Christina and Triss are pretty much the same as far as stature goes. They're both thin, lean. I just think that they describe Triss as being a little bit shorter than her. Not that it's a big deal. It's just kind of surprising when you look at it. And then I think the last one, we have Ben Lloyd Hughes as Will, and then Christian Madsen, thank you, as Al.
He's very cute. He was in nothing I've ever heard of in my life.
Who are you talking about?
Christian Madsen.
As Al?
Yeah. I've never seen anything that this guy was in.
Where's some stuff that he's been in? Tell us.
Well, he's apparently known for Refuge from the Storm, that came out in 2012. He's known for The Brazen Bull in 2010, and Lost in the Woods in 2009. Yeah, I got nothing.
I don't got nothing on him either.
I got nothing on any.
He looks kind of nice.
He's very cute.
It's all based on looks at this point. I guess until we go see the movie, that's all we're going to have to do this. Maybe we'll run back through this whole cast list again once we see it and see how they play out.
I am very intrigued by Mekhi Phifer playing Max.
I skipped Max. He isn't even on here. Okay, yeah. So Max. Yeah, he's pretty cool.
I love Mekhi Phifer. I think he's wonderful.
I get him and Peter mixed up, and Miles Teller, like, I always picture Max or Mekhi Phifer when I think of Peter, but yeah, he's the big, he's the tall, rugged one.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Pretty intimidating looking, I gotta say.
Yeah.
So that's a plus. Super exciting.
He's lovely.
Mm-hmm. And then I put at the end here, I'm just surprised that they don't have Uriah cast.
Oh, he's not in the movie?
I don't think so. I think he may be in the movie, but I think they won't like announce him or introduce him.
Well, that's depressing.
Just a bit.
I like him.
I like him too. He's my favorite. Which makes me feel like they're going to cut most of the scenes with the Dauntless Initiates out.
Probably.
But speaking of scenes, what are some things that you're really looking forward to seeing?
I'm really looking forward to seeing the Ferris wheel.
Yeah?
I'm really looking forward to seeing that. I love the... I was really hoping... I don't know if they're going to cut out the initiates, but I'm... And since Uriah is not cast, I'm really concerned about my favorite part of the whole situation where she runs off to go be with the guys who are already initiated.
The zip line.
Yes.
Yeah.
I loved that scene.
The plan's really, really good. Yeah. And, you know, she does that because she's mad at her friends from Capture the Flag. So it also makes you wonder how that Capture the Flag is going to play out, too. Yeah. But I guess we'll find out. Yeah, I like the zipline scene, too. I'm a little mad that they won't. Oh, go ahead.
No, it's one of the most interesting scenes for me. Just because it's so not... like, stressful. You're sitting there going, this is what a teenage girl is going to do. She's going to leave her friends, and she's going to go find another group of people to hang out with. It was so interesting, and I really enjoyed that about it.
Mm-hmm.
What else? What are you looking forward to?
Oh, I like the fear landscapes. I'm actually really excited about seeing Four's sphere landscape.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
That's kind of one of my favorite scenes in the book, not because of all of the Triss Four mushy-mushy love stuff, but because the idea of somebody else being in your fear landscape.
Yeah.
Like, bringing somebody else into that world for you. Visually, I want to see that.
Yeah, the fear landscape should be really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also intrigued by the aptitude test.
Yeah. The dog and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be cool. And you get to see some of that in the trailer.
Yeah.
I posted I can't post all three trailers on the website, but I posted the third one, the last official one.
Okay.
Because it's got that narration in there. But I posted that, and it's funny because the clip or the, what do you call that, icon, of course, when you first look at it and then you press play, is of her and Four making out. So the first thing you see when you go to look for the trailer is them going at it. And he, of course, he's shirtless and you can see all of his tattoos. Again, that's not what the whole movie is about, but...
Not, but it's a good way to get people into the theater.
It's like, what is this? Ooh, let me play this trailer. And of course, it's like the last, it's only 3 seconds long and the last 5 seconds of the whole trailer. But people will watch it just to see that. So
I don't blame them. I watched it to see them.
Yeah, it's funny. But like I said, I crack up because every time I go to the site to edit something or fix something, bam, there they are. He's all shirtless, and it's like, hello, a family-friendly out podcast. Like all the porn we got going on. Anyway, so yeah, we're super excited about that. And we'll just talk about it when everyone's done seeing it.
All right.
But, Alyssa, every time, you know, we're going to sign off with a book recommendation.
Right.
So that you, the listeners, can... find out what's good and what's new, and even though you probably will read half the stuff we're talking about, but it's so much fun recommending books to people because it's like giving presents.
It is. I'll do Etiquette and Espionage, which I adore. It's one of my favorite, it's a YA book, and it's one of my all-time favorites. When it came out, I was dying. And it's sort of like a prequel to the author Gail Carriger did a series called Parasol Protectorate, and it's bizarre and I love it. And it's set in Victorian times with werewolves and vampires and steampunk and craziness, and it's wonderful. But Etiquette and Espionage is set before the Parasol Protectorate, and it's the beginning of a new series called The Finishing School. And it's just too fun. It's all about this girl whose mother simply cannot put up with her anymore and sends her away to get finished. Unbeknownst to the mother, The Finishing School also happens to be a place for spies, for women who don't quite fit in normal society and need to become spies for whatever reason, but it's in like a massive dirigible and it's hilarious. Can't even deal with how awesome it is. Everyone should read it.
Since you talked about it last time, I just finished it yesterday, a couple of days ago, and I can attest, it's fantastic. I love their little punchline. It's a finishing school where ladies learn etiquette and learn how to finish. And, like, the inside joke is that to finish somebody is to kill them or rob them or to, I don't know, whatever your assignment is. And so I was ready for a whole series.
Of the finishing school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that isn't finished yet. That's the new series. The Parasol Protectorate is all done. Okay. And there are five books in that one.
It's good?
Yeah, they're great. There's actual romance in that one.
Well,
but, I love her characters. The way she writes these Victorian women it's too fun because it's not exactly Victorian, but it is. And the main character in the Parasol Protector, her name is Alexia Terabotti, And it's rather unfortunate because her father was Italian, and she's got this nose. At one point, somebody, one of the characters, being the love interest, says, you know, well, why isn't she married yet? And one of the other characters goes, it could be the fact that she's part Italian.
And what?
The main guy goes, I don't see how this is a problem.
No, and this has to do with anything.
But it's a problem because it's Victorian England, and it makes sense.
Yeah, they don't want to fraternize.
Yeah. It's so much fun, and then the French are hilarious, and this, and then the vampires. I don't think in Etiquette and Espionage we have too many vampires, but the vampires are just hilarious in this world.
It's funny. Oh my gosh, it's just... And of course, they're not... I don't know, it's not like it's full of vampires and werewolves. They're just thrown in there.
They just happen to be...
You know, we've got steampunk. Who doesn't love a good vampire and werewolf in a steampunk novel?
I just have no idea.
Great.
And if they don't, then I don't want to know them.
Honestly.
So that was my book recommendation, and I stand by it, and I love it, and everyone should read it. Etiquette and Espionage by Gail Carriger.
I wanted to recommend... I keep trying to figure out better ways to explain this book, and I never come up with a good one. Lola and the Boy Next Door by Stephanie Perkins. And it is a companion series. Her first book is actually called Anna and the French Kiss, which is also really, really good. But I just particularly like the second book more because I don't know. You know, the love stories are always a little cliche, but to put one in Paris, it just kind of... But you never think about that when you're reading it. It's very fun because she goes, like, she's American and she's in Paris, and she really doesn't like all of the little Parisian people because she thinks they're all snooty. But, of course, she'll come home for, like, Christmas break, and she can't even stand, like, the coffee at McDonald's or something, and now her mom thinks she's a snooty one. It's cute. But, no, Lola and the Boy Next Door is much more classic. And she falls for the next-door neighbor. Old friends. I'm such a fangirl of falling in love with your best friend storylines.
I know.
They're so cute to me.
They are.
Not to mention that Cricket, the male protagonist in the story, is the description of him is just 10 from Doctor Who. pinstripe pants with like little lapel jackets with brass buttons and a like a pocket watch kind of thing and pointy shoes. But the kid's like 17. I don't know. It's great. It's a great little story. Stephanie Perkins is popular. I don't think she's as popular as she should be, though. Her books are fantastic. They're contemporary little romances, but, oh, they're fantastic. And the third one gets to come out this August.
Oh, yay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just... The whole idea of Lola and the French Kiss turned me off a lot, but everyone seems to be recommending it.
Anna and the French Kiss.
And that's what I meant, Anna and the French Kiss.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm going to give it a try.
You know, I did the same thing, though. I put it off for a while, too. But once I started getting into it, it was like, you know what's cool about it? I love stories that sound, that kind of touch on a hint of realism.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts to like one of her friends who's already in a relationship.
Ah.
And, like, that crap happens. Like, it's fluffy, but it's also contemporary realistic.
Yeah, I like that.
And if it is in Paris.
It definitely adds a sense of realism to a romance novel that you just simply don't normally get.
Lola and the Boy Next Door by Stephanie Perkins. That one takes place in San Francisco, so it's a lot more fun.
Cool.
Yeah. All right, so that is the episode. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, I don't think so. You can follow me on Tumblr at abookblog.tumblr.com. Trying to post a lot more than I have been recently. So questions are always welcome. Comments and concerns will be taken with a grain of salt.
Way to tell it like it is.
Right on.
And I'm super excited to have you on. It's going to be a fun adventure, this podcast.
I'm so excited to be on this podcast.
In the meantime, we will go see the movie.
Yes, we will.
Get back as soon as we can and let you guys know what we thought about. So take your notes. So yeah, write in, tell us what you thought of the movie also. Ooh, that would be good, because if you tell us what you thought of the movie, then we can, like, talk about it, or we can comment on it on the next episode.
Tell us what you thought.
Yes. And follow us on Tumblr. Our faction is fandom.tumblr.com. Email us at factionfandompodcast.com. The website, as you know, factionfandom.com. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Joss Whedon's still the bomb diggity, so.
You have to say, you're in a new room every time I see you, your picture.
I know.
It's kind of cool. It's like, ooh, she's got this fancy house, new places all the time.
I'm actually house sitting.
Oh.
I like food more than anything else in the world, though.
You like food?
Given the opportunity, if it involves food, I'll probably have it. I'll probably do it.